Up next, Women in High Def with Diane Markins, where each week she offers unique insight on how to meet the top 10 needs in every woman's life. Romance, parenting, finding purpose, and supernatural sustenance are just a few. Visit DianeMarkins.com and click on the Women in High Def logo to learn more. And now, here's Diane with this week's show.
Hey, it's great to be with you all today. Well, we're going to dig into making marriage better by making husbands happier. In my experience, which is about, well, going on 33 years of marriage, this can get really high return on your investment. And that's kind of what my guest today, Tennille Jackson, has to say about the whole thing. So let's get started. My guest is a motivational speaker and a blog talk radio host, and her book is called Pleasing Your Partner, A Spiritual Guide to Happiness. Welcome, Tennille.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
How long have you been married?
I have been married for 10 years, a little bit over 10 years.
Okay, and is this your first marriage?
Yes, first and only.
Amen, sister. I like that one. You know, your bio says mother of many. What does that mean?
You know what? I actually have given birth four times. I birthed four girls of my own, but when my husband and I first got together, he had a daughter already. She was 7 when we got together. She just turned 21, so I have parented her. My goddaughter lived with me for about 5 years about 6 sometimes. She was like 13 or 14 until she turned 19. And then I have like a host of nieces and nephews that have either one time lived with me or I just directly influenced. So for that reason, I say mother of many.
Okay. I mean, so you are speaking into and nurturing and encouraging a lot of kids, whether you actually gave birth to them or not, or whether they call you mom or not.
Exactly, and even at my church, I'm the youth leader, so like I am in constant connection with all the young people at my church too. So like I am definitely one that have a strong connection with young people.
Well, when did you first start following Christ, and did you right away immediately start applying biblical principles to relationships, or did it take a while?
Well, you know what? I have been in the church literally all of my life. Both of my grandfathers were pastors. My father was a pastor. So I really had no way to get around that foundation. When I got married, there were a lot of different things because, you know, you can kind of be in the church but not of the church, so to speak. So I knew of church. I knew of the word. But it probably wasn't until I was about 25 or so that I actually began to apply the principles to my everyday living.
Okay. And so in earlier relationships, maybe, even though you were a believer, and, you know, that doesn't necessarily preclude us from making bad mistakes in relationships and in other areas of life. I know I've made more than my fair share.
Amen to that.
In earlier relationships, before you really started getting a hold of this whole thing with God and making it your own, what kinds of mistakes do you think you made?
Well, I mean, the typical things that most people do, fornication, you know, having sex before I was married, that was probably the biggest mistake, not knowing about not always having to follow your heart. You know, sometimes, a lot of times they'll tell you to follow your heart, but sometimes that's not the best thing because you're emotional, and sometimes you have to look at things from a logical standpoint instead of always just getting caught up in emotion. And I think pretty much the things that I did was pertaining to that. The mistakes that I made was because I was always following my heart, and, you know, I thought I cared about this person or that person, and so I would allow myself to be stepped on. I would allow myself to go somewhere where I shouldn't go because my heart was speaking to me instead of using logic and saying, you know what, this probably isn't the best situation to have myself in, so I need to just step away from it.
And I mean, two H's, heart and hormones. You know, sometimes those hormones are raging in us, especially when we're younger, and even, you know, even some older women. I mean, we can kind of get fired up and caught up and And our brains and our hormones and our hearts tell us one thing that our spirit is in conflict with. So I think you're
absolutely right.
And I really applaud you for being so honest about it, because that's what the Christian church, that's what we need to be, is honest with each other about our journeys and our mistakes as well as our good choices. So that will help hopefully some other ladies along the way not make the same bad choices. You know, your book addresses some issues that challenge relationships. What do you think are the top three you hear most often?
You know what? Even though this one is not in my book specifically, I do touch bases on it. Communication, I feel, is key to any effective relationship. And so when we don't practice effective communication techniques, if we are not aware of our partner's communication style, I think that will definitely open us up to issues in the long run. Lack of trust, that is definitely one of those that plays a humongous part, because if you don't trust your spouse, then it's really going to be hard to make it in a long-term relationship. And then I would probably say sense of security or lack thereof. And so ironically enough, neither of those three are actually in the book specifically, mm-hmm. but they all tie into every point that is made in the book via the happiness acronym.
Well, and you may just have to write another book to include these. tell us about what, I mean, just real quick for the first run through, tell us what the acronym of happiness is, and then we'll go back and I want to talk about them individually.
Definitely. Well, happiness is spelled exactly the actual way. I didn't put a twist to the spelling of the word happiness. H is for humility, A, assurance, P and P are peace and prosperity, respectively. I is integrity, N is newness, E is endurance, S and S are submission and strength, respectively.
Oh, well, I love every single one of those words. How did you come up with this?
You know what? It was totally divine inspiration. It was something that one night I was literally prompted to just begin to write. I've been writing for probably 15, 20 years. I've always written. That's always been my outlet to express myself. But in terms of with this book, I just got up, and it really was almost like it was something that God was telling me that was needed for a time such as this. And so I just began to write, and the first thing I got was the first part of the book, which was pleasing your partner. And then as I was writing down happiness, each letter, it was just each word was given to me. And so I just feel that each of these traits are essential for the success of any relationship. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be a marriage. It can be a business relationship. It can just be for the individual themselves, because it's not until you learn to love yourself that you can truly love someone else.
And you're absolutely right. We don't have to be married to apply these principles. We can use these with our children and our neighbors and our coworkers,
right,
and anybody, because godly principles for relationship go across the board. So
right.
I think I completely agree with you. What would you say in your marriage? Have you had challenges? I mean, if you haven't, then you're probably on the wrong show, because I don't know anybody that's actually lived with a man and not had any challenges. So what, especially earlier in your marriage, when you were trying to find your way, because I think newly married, and then we go through seasons where maybe we hit again on a rough spot, but what mm-hmm. are some of the high points of challenges that you've experienced in your own marriage?
Well, you know what?
Some of these?
Definitely when I got married, because again, when I got married, I was relatively young. I was only 21 when I got married. So
mm-hmm.
that was one of the first things, you know, because you are at a different place now, like right on the borderline of 32. I am definitely in a different place now than I was when I was 21, you know,
mm-hmm.
mentally, physically, spiritually. So I've matured in all those different ways, and we didn't quite know how to communicate with one another, because the other thing that's important for people to understand is that it's such a total difference from being somebody's wife than being their girlfriend, you know. And so I think that was one, yes, that was one of the biggest transitions was, you know, when I see him as my boyfriend, you know, I want to get all spruced up and I want for him to see me in this way. And, you know, he's concerned about making a good impression on me versus when you become married, you kind of get in a comfortable place with one another. And so that in and of itself is definitely a transition that we had to overcome. And like I said, because our communication styles are totally different, like as you can see, I am very free-flowing, very talkative, and my husband is so not. He is very straight to the point. He only says what he needs to say when he needs to say it. And so just those differences would get us to the point where I felt like he didn't understand me because I was wanting, you know, I want details. I want for you to tell me, if you're telling me a story, I don't want just who, what, when, where, and why. I want to know details to the details. And, you know, when he's talking, he feels that all of those things are a little bit unnecessary. And so we both kind of felt that we were disrespecting one another within our communication styles. And so, of course, all things are going to spill over into something more. So it was really kind of learning more of him, taking the time to learn your partner. And that's another reason why I am an advocate of staying together, because it takes time to learn somebody. And if you only, you know, are giving yourself a year to get to be in this marriage or 2 years, you are not going to learn what you need to learn. I mean, it was really, you know, years five or six before we started to understand how we operated, you know. So those
well, and
are
I'll
just
tell you what, Chanel, I'm going on year 33, and I still don't know everything. I mean, there are days when I think I haven't figured this man out yet. So I don't think we ever arrive. I think it's a kind of just like with God, it's an ongoing process.
Ongoing journey, yes,
and well,
yes.
And they change too. So we change in the way we see them and in the way we see the world and the way we present ourselves, and then they're changing. So that constant evolution of both of us is a work in progress. And I think you're right. We have to keep working at getting to know each other and not give up on the relationship. I think that's something that happens way too often. People throw in the towel. They think, this isn't working. I want out. I want something better. And they go on to something better or what they think is better, and they repeat the pattern because it's
exactly.
never perfect. It's
exactly.
never perfect. Well,
because what they're actually going on to is just something different, not necessarily better, just different.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the importance of pleasing your husband and just relating to people in a way that is honoring and pleasing to them. Marriage is something that needs good success, and we can't give up too soon. My guest is Tenille Jackson, and she's got some really interesting things to say about this. Tenille, how has having children changed things as far as pleasing your husband?
Oh, my goodness. I want to say probably the most obvious probably with having five girls under one roof is time. You know, when we first got married, as I said before, he already had a daughter. He had full custody of her, so she lived with us. So we already knew about having one daughter. And, again, by the time we got married, she was 10. And so, you know, that's totally different from once we, you know, had our first daughter, which was like right at a year after we were married, because we got married in December and our first daughter was born in November. And so, you know, as each child was born, and literally every 2 years I was having another child, so November 02, December 04, January 06, and October 08. So, you know, with that, still having to balance everything else, and it was so difficult initially to find a way to balance, because even though I'm young, I'm very old school. I was born and raised, you know, taught that the woman's job is to take care of her husband, take care of her household, you know, and really just do whatever is necessary. So I cook, I'm cleaning, I'm washing, and the more children you have, the more difficult it becomes to maintain that standard that you have placed, not just on yourself, but within the household, because now the expectancy is that you're the one that, if we're going to eat dinner, you're the one that's going to cook it. If the clothes I wash, you're the one that's going to clean it. And so I want to say it wasn't until maybe the third daughter was born that my husband kind of got, you know what, let me start helping out some, you know. And he really got an opportunity to see, because at one point, he was laid off, and so he didn't have a choice but to stay at home. And while he was at home, he got an understanding of what my daily life was like, because once he got laid off, then I went ahead and I went to work for, you know, for a little bit. And so he was at home with the children, and it was actually having that on-the-job training, so to speak, that he got a true appreciation of what it is that I had to go through all of those times, and he had really just began to pitch in more often. So I would definitely say it's just the time, trying to get time together, because there's always somebody knocking on the door, always somebody needs to go to a doctor, to a dentist, to, you know, some appointment, something at school. So just making sure that we keep our date night a priority is the biggest obstacle of having so many children.
And you're absolutely right. And not only that, but you're exhausted.
Yes.
Especially with as many kids as you have, you're exhausted.
Yes.
So it's hard to, and it's hard to look pretty and even care about looking pretty.
Care about it. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard thing when you have kids. So I hear you on that. You know, we aren't going to have time to go through the letters, but one thing I do want to touch on your last letter, which kind of, I mean, it sums up the whole pleasing your partner. We talk about submission, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, the S word is not very popular, especially in secular society. Most of us who've been believers for a long time understand what submission means, especially in a marriage and to Christ. But can you talk a little bit about how that particular principle is dealt with in your book and how you see it with pleasing your husband?
Oh, definitely, Diane. For me personally, within my marriage, submission was the hardest thing for me to implement, for me to apply, because in my family, before I was married, my family was pretty much all women. You know, only my mom, my parents had been married off and on for 20 years, but even their relationship, you know, had its trials and tribulations as any relationship does. But other than that, there really were no women in my family that were married, and my family is predominantly women. So we were taught, you know, that you do everything on your own, you find a way, you don't depend on a man for anything. And, you know, when you get married, that mentality has to alter, because you now have a man that's a part of who you are. And so for me, for those first few years, my husband and I bumped heads, because things that he was trying to do for me, you know, I was born and raised where I did things myself. You know, like, if you want to change a tire, you can go ahead and you can do that. But, you know, I'm not going to let you do this, and I'm not going to allow you to do that, because then I always thought that it made me weaker as a person. But I had to learn what true submission was. It didn't mean that I was taking away from myself, but it's just knowing how to sacrifice for the benefit of us. When you're married, it's not always about me, 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 but me becomes we. And so learning that took a long time for me, and, you know, for so many women, because we feel that being submissive equates to being weak, and it's not. And I say it even in the book, that it takes a strong person to know the appropriate time to show weakness, the appropriate time, because it's not necessarily weakness as it is being humble, as it is and being submissive. And there's nothing wrong with submissiveness within a relationship.
Humility is such a big part of submissiveness, and mm-hmm. it's yielding. It's knowing when to kind of back off a little bit and allow ourselves, like you said, not to use the word weak, but mm-hmm. to be vulnerable and mm-hmm. to allow someone to step up and do things that maybe they have better gifts for, or they have more physical strength for, some of those kinds of things. And other times, I'm sure you could probably understand this too, but there are times when maybe they aren't more gifted or they aren't stronger or whatever,
right.
but they need to. That's what they want to do. And sometimes we just have to yield and let them
allow
do it.
Allow it.
And hope that they will do the same. That if there's something that we feel really strongly about, that we feel called and we feel like this is important that I accomplish this thing, that they will yield and submit
mm-hmm.
and partner with us in that way. And I love what you said about it's not about me, it's about we. It becomes
mm-hmm.
a focused, intentional change in the way we think when we're married. And when your best goal is for we, sometimes as an individual, the thing to make we better is for me to submit and sacrifice. So that's, I completely affirm you in that. What would be one other letter that you'd like to talk about real quick before we close?
You know what? I want to hit the last S, which is strength. And when I wrote the book, I purposely wrote it in that order, submission and then strength, because so many times, as we just were alluding to, people take submissiveness to equate to weakness. And I wanted to make a point to write about strength, the fact that it takes a strong person, male or female, to be able to endure the trials and tribulations of a marriage. It takes a strong person to be willing to humble themselves, to be willing to submit to their spouse, to be willing to, you know, implement all these various traits that I discuss in the book. That takes a strength that many people don't possess, which is why many people choose to walk away from a relationship feeling that, you know, I'm just going to take the easy way out. This is too much work. So to actually stay involved in a relationship throughout the trials and tribulations, throughout the financial hardships, the infidelity, the lack of communication, whatever those trials may be, it takes a considerable amount of strength. So I definitely want to make sure I made mention of that.
I love that, and I love that you pair those two together because they do complement each other. Submissiveness and strength in a marriage setting and following under Christ, those are two beautifully paired words. So I really think you did a great job with that. Now, the book is called Pleasing Your Partner, A Spiritual Guide to Happiness. Where can people get your book, Tenille?
Well, they can definitely go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I actually self-published, so they can also find it via Author House. Or they can go to my website, which is www.tenealstodos.org. That's TENEALSTO-DOS.org. And under, I believe it's Get It Now or Get Your Copy, they can actually purchase a copy from me, and I will autograph it and send it to them with free shipping.
Tenille has also written a guest post on my site, DianeMarkins.com, and then you just click on Women in High Def, and it's some really good, helpful information just tight packaged in a little tiny post. And if you post a comment, you'll be entered to win a copy of her book. So jump on there and do that. You can also listen to her show, Inspirational Talk with Tenille, on Tuesdays from 4 to 4:30 p.m. Central Time, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And that's on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we're out of time. And Tenille Jackson, you have just been a tremendous inspiration to me today, and I know other women feel the same way. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you so much for having me.
Marriage is the foundation of our society, but just as Tenille shared, it takes sacrifice and effort to make it a success. If you're struggling right now in your marriage, please contact me through my website. I'd love to pray for you. Or like my page on Facebook. Just like this show, it's called Women in High Def. In my newly released book, Women in High Def, Boldly Living Your Purposes with Vibrant Clarity, there's an entire chapter devoted to marriage. It includes moving stories of marriage struggles and successes, but also has some helpful coaching questions and a prompt to listen to God about your relationship. You can get your copy at DianeMarkins.com. For those who've read the book, I hope you'll post a comment or email me to share your thoughts on the book and how it may have helped your marriage. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being back together with you next week on Women in High Def.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. Women in High Def is a weekly show designed to inspire and equip women to meet their most important needs. This show is sponsored by A&M Nut & Bolt in Phoenix, Arizona. To share your comments, book Diane to speak at your event, read encouraging blog posts, or listen to past shows, visit DianeMarkins.com and click on the Women in High Def logo. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to connect with us again next week for more empowerment and inspiration from Diane Markins and her guests on Women in High Def.